I'd like now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Galen Ross. She is director of the film Karis' Peace, which screens as part of the Santa Fe Film Festival on Friday, the 20th of October at 4:30 in the afternoon at The Screen on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, Mary Sharon. How are you?
Good. It's great to have you back. We had you, last year or the year before when you were talking about another documentary you did called Killing Kastner, which was amazing. This is a film about an actress named Karis Korfman. Tell us about who she was and her career as an actress.
Karis Korfman was an amazing actress. She was a Yale student, Yale Drama School student. And she went right from drama school to Broadway and starred with Tim Curry in Amadeus and continued a life mostly in the theater, doing film, though, in television. But her real work as an actress and where she became known in the theater in New York and in regional theaters. But she continued until this cataclysmic event happened in her life, which was the diagnosis of a brain tumor.
Now, that brain tumor, which happened when she was still, in her late 30s,
exactly.
Left her with short-term memory loss, which basically, whatever you do, that's going to be hard. But if you're an actress, that immediately puts an end to your normal career. What happened next?
Well, the diagnosis, the good news was that the tumor was benign. The bad news, of course, was that the removal of it was so invasive that it left her really physically challenged in terms of literally physically. I think her pituitary gland was also removed, so that changed her whole biological, her eating habits, and she physically changed. But more importantly, she lost her short-term memory, and this was an area where the tumor was removed. And for anyone, to not have short-term memory means that they can't literally remember what they did, not just that morning, but 10 minutes ago or an hour ago. And so there's no continuity to one's life. So she spent many years, actually, in a rehabilitation situation and started to live pretty much on her own with help from her family and caregivers in her own apartment and was finding a way to have a life. But there was a huge, huge hole missing in her life, and that was her passion and her love for the stage and her devotion as an actress to the theater. And she wanted to get back, and there was no way that she knew how to be back on the stage.
And yet she did, and that's the beautiful thing about this film, and it's also the kind of play on words in the title, Karis' Peace, P-E-A-C-E, but it's also about the theater piece that she did. How did she manage to do a one-woman show?
Well, there was this discussion and dialogue with Karis and her friends, and how was she going to be an actress again? And she was trying to think if she could read books on tape or she could do something. But the idea of having no memory and going on stage and not just the sense, which I think is very important, not just holding a script in hand, Karis wouldn't know or remember necessarily why she was even on the stage or what she was supposed to be doing there. The loss of memory was so much more profound than not having words. So there were so many hurdles and obstacles to the very idea of getting Karis back on the stage, but she was absolutely driven to doing it. So with help of friends and especially a theater director, Brad Watkins, they started to devise literally a method for her to be back on stage, for her to have a script, for her to create her one-woman show, to add to it monologues that she had done that were well-known in theater that she had presented before, and to also create a way that she would always have a safety net, because at any moment, they didn't know, but at any moment, she might not know where she was. And so, there was a standing sort of joke. It wasn't so funny, but it was funny in a way Karis thought it was. But we said Karis never had stage fright, because at rehearsal, she might have the performance that night, but she wouldn't know. She would turn to the director and say, what are we doing tonight? And the director would say, you have a performance with an audience coming. And she would go, oh, that's great. That's nice. And it was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's when one watches the film, you really can't help but try to put yourself in her position and think about what that must be like. And she obviously had an incredible spirit. She was a great actress. She was a wonderful person. You have some footage of her before she had this brain injury, so, you know, brain problem, where she was just completely in her body and in her power. And not knowing where you are, you're on stage, you're holding index cards that say your lines because you can't remember them, and then suddenly you don't know where you are or why you're there. Just the sense of fear and disorientation that must have been part of her daily life is just unimaginable.
It was really, I mean, and the courage she had. I mean, with all of that, the courage she had to get back on stage and to do this. I mean, the cards are very interesting. They devised a special way for her to have cards, but it was very interesting. The cards were not like a script, although they were the script, but they were stapled cards, and they were color-coded. So the reason they stapled a section of the play together was because if they were on a ring, she would continue the cards going over and over again, and she could repeat the entire play.
Right,
and not
right.
know that she had repeated it. And I think, you know, another thing that was really important is that a lot of this was in the making of the film. The collaborating director, Rebecca Nelson, was there. And she and Karis also had this relationship as acting colleagues back from Yale. And there was this amazing relationship with them and support that Rebecca had for Karis. And to, you know, to have that community back for Karis was enormously important for her to be included again.
Well, and one thing that was so interesting to me was she couldn't remember who she'd met 5 minutes ago or why she was on stage or what she was supposed to eat or any of that stuff. But she knew lines from plays that she had done 20 years earlier, and she knew her old friends. So it was as if the stuff before the brain tumor basically remained, if not intact, a lot of that was still there.
Yes, I mean, it's a very unique phenomenon, and I think what we try to say in the film is that unlike Alzheimer's, where there is a receding of the person and the memory is getting worse and worse, so that and they are not really aware of what's going on, Karis had a much more difficult, or not comparatively, but it was a unique situation where she was very aware of what was happening to her, which made it much more painful. But we felt that, you know, she was. And this is interesting, you know, with work or participation in the world or the community, we started to think she was getting better, that she was beginning to make a way for new memories to happen. And it, for her, you know, it was like, and we used the example in the film of a filing cabinet. She had all the files of her past life in her head. It was putting the new files in. They wouldn't stay in the filing cabinet. They just kept falling out. So it was interesting to see that back in the theater, back in the world, she started to find a way to make new memories, which was extraordinary, I thought.
Did that last?
Yes. I mean, it would be very difficult to know which new memories would hold. I mean, she never knew why she would remember certain things. For instance, she wouldn't remember that she had a performance that night, but she would remember very well that she's doing a play. And she would remember sometimes people that she had met since the tumor, and they would now hold a memory for her. So it was very interesting what held memory and what didn't, but certainly, certainly the process accelerated as she, and I think there's work is healing, you know, whatever passion you have. Hers happened to be theater, hers happened to be in the arts, but being involved, being engaged, it does connect something with the brain, and I think we could witness that in the film.
And it definitely seemed to lift her spirits when she was doing that theater piece.
Definitely. You know, I mean, again, work and being involved. I mean, the depression for Karis was tremendous before she got back on the stage. It was, yes, she had a nice life, and yes, she had her basic needs taken care of, but of course she lost that involvement, and when she lost that and feeling like she could participate in the world in a meaningful way, it was very, very painful and traumatic for her, and she was very depressed, and I can understand, rightfully so.
There was I thought at the time, cheesy Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore movie called 51st Dates, but it's the same illness. It's the same what they portray in that, and they portray it in a way that, unfortunately, being a silly Hollywood movie, was really unrealistic in very important ways. But basically, this girl couldn't, she fell in love with a guy, and then she couldn't remember him the next day. I mean, this is a, it turns out that this is, and it has different reasons and different people, but this is a, albeit rare, but known condition. And it's really, I mean, it changes your ability to relate to people, and whatever friendships she had in the past, I mean, certainly there was loyalty there, but it wasn't the same kind of friendship after that problem.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, when people have traumatic illness or they have to disengage in some way, it changes, and it changes people's relationships with them. And they, and it's not the fault of friends, and it's not the fault. It's the reality. She had to move away from New York. She had to be closer to her family. She was more isolated in a community that didn't consist of her theatrical world. That was all true. Then, and the other hand, it's something that could happen to many kinds of situations where there's certain kinds of injuries or certain kind of trauma that changes the way you are in the world. And yet Karis was always trying to find her way back. And sometimes, you know, she would go, there was a local neighborhood theater. I mean, she would literally volunteer to lick envelopes just to be near the theater.
Wow.
It was that kind of passion for her.
What was your relationship like with her?
My relationship, I had a very nice friendship with Karis, and I knew her after Yale. I knew her in the theater. I was directing theater for a while, and I knew her then. And it was a good friendship, and I liked her very, very much. My relationship with Karis was not the same sort of profound, deep relationship that Rebecca Nelson had with her. And that, of course, came from being in that world of acting together at Yale and continuing on. And it was different. So there was a different sort of aspect in the filming that I was behind the camera, and Rebecca was in front of the camera spending the time with Karis, and yet we were all there, and as Karis would say, the girls are coming over, party, party. So we tried to make this, we didn't want to make this, we wanted to make this an experience, and I filmed a lot of it myself, except for the performance, because we wanted to keep it a very intimate film, and I'm not
right.
used to doing that. So usually I hire the crew, and I hire, people to do this. But in this case, it was, let's have a slumber party. Let's hang out with Karis.
And that's what the film really feels like.
It does, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah.
Karis had such a great time, and yet, Karis got to say how she felt. And for us, this was the most important thing, that nobody was talking for Karis. A lot of people, especially in the disability community, feel that other people talk for them and are, characterizing them or telling them in all good intentions what to do and how to do it. And Karis very much felt that part of what she was going through was the loss of her independence and her voice and her own having authority over her life. So I made sure that in the film, nobody talks for Karis. Talks for Karis.
The film is called Karis's Peace. It screens on Friday, the 21st of October, as part of the Santa Fe Film Festival. It's at 4:30 at the Screen on the Santa Fe University of Art and Design campus. Galen Ross is director of the film. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.